are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, you got it done anyway. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You always get it done. You don't procrastinate. You don't whine and cry. You do it. You get it done. And that's the kind of brothers and sisters we need in our struggle for self-determination, in our struggle for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. You get it done, and we appreciate that. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, then just go to the archives. That's right. Just go to timeforanawakening.com. Look and see and find that red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed on it. Click on that and go to the archives, and all the programs are dated and titled. So, no excuse. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. Today is Monday, so this program here is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And also on Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, also from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. Oops, excuse me. With Sister POC, Revive. And I mean, maybe I need to be revived. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right. It's time for an awakening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it ain't me. I know I'm 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I know that. But then on Sunday, it's Sister POC with her program Revive, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Had a very good program on last night. They had Fred Hampton Jr. on, Fred Hampton Jr. out of Chicago, and talking about the whole situation. A question was asked of him and says, hey, man, what you doing with that, you know, about all them deaths in Chicago? And he was said plainly and clearly, it's a form of genocide. It's just not us killing us. It's directed. So, and I agree. The number to call, of course, is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And you can give us your questions, comments, or concerns, or just give us your African perspective. We buy black. We buy black. Go to WeBuyBlack.com to get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. Also, too, if you're in the Atlanta area, in the Greenbrier Mall, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where they're selling their products that are produced by us, WeBuyBlack.com. Brother Tahembe, Brother Bomani Tahembe, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check him out, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. I'll get him in here before the year ends to talk about what's coming up next year that you can take advantage of on one of his tours. You can check him out at the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give him a call at 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of the previous tours, and probably he has some pictures up already from just getting back last month, ended last month. It's going to be on Facebook.com/Bomonti. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomonti2007. Books. We need to read, y'all. We need to be informed. We need to be enlightened. One of the places you can buy books from here in Atlanta, and I don't know if you have a bookstore in your community, and I hope you do, and I hope you patronize it. I hope you get others to do as well, because that's what has happened. Many bookstores have closed. Well, of course, one can argue with the multimedia and all the other social medias on and YouTube and all this kind of stuff. And you don't need no books. We don't need to read, which is a damn shame. Shrine of Black Madonna in the West End, they have books. They have books. They have furniture. They have clothing. They have artwork. They have shoes. They have the red, black, and green shoes. If you see me, you know I have them on my feet. They have them there for you, and if you don't have the size, they'll get you the size. Shrine of the Black Madonna, let me tell you about some other things that are going on at the Shrine. They have their history class, the Black History class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30, 2 hours, every Saturday at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, 960 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. Check them out. That number once again for the bookstore for lectures and workshops. Oh, that's for lectures and workshops. But the phone number for the Shrine is 404-549-8678. Also, too, they have a multimedia library. I'm going to go ahead and get this thing downloaded because I want to get this library. They have a multimedia library. Digital resources, over 100,000 files on our history and our culture. The most extensive cultural library of its kind. Over 1,500 videos. Over 15,000 videos. Over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 20,000 books, classic video documentaries and lectures, a Pan-African database of history and culture, religion, maps, charts, scripts, images, and much more. Currently over 4.5 terabytes of enlightenment. An invaluable source for history buffs, teachers, researchers, ministers, youth workers, social workers, parents, students. Great for homeschools, commercial free edutainment from an African cultural perspective is just a click away. Know thyself, brothers and sisters. Know thyself. And that's at the Shrine. You can go online and check that out. Know thyself. And once again, the classes are every Saturday, free and open to the public. Every Saturday, 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I mentioned We Buy Black in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore, which is near the food court. And check out the Medu Bookstore. Also to the bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother, Jamu. And his bookstore is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot. He has books. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, the NASGAS shoes. If he doesn't have your size, he'll get them. He'll get them for you. Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. They broadcast every Thursday on Blog Talk at Thursday at 9 p.m.
Eastern Time, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The number to call to listen or to participate is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Every Thursday, us lifting us. Check the broadcast out. Become a member. Buy a share. Be active. Participate. It's vitally important. We have pulled our monies together because that's what Uplifting Us is about. It's a cooperative. And we have opened up Cafe Ulu here in Atlanta in the Greenbrier Mall. Excuse me, Greenbrier Mall. In Sylvan Road. 2036 Sylvan Road. 2036 Sylvan Road here in Atlanta is located. And we're in our office. Man, Oshi, let me get it together. And our hours are Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we sell coffee. We have Cameroon. We have Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopian. Of course, Ethiopia is where coffee started. But we also have Nicaraguan and Panamanian, Brazilian, and many other different blends of coffee, because that's what we're about. We have coffee. We also have the loose teas. And everything that is sold at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Check out the website, Cafe Ulu, CAFEULU.com, Cafe Ulu. We also have the vitality drink of my good brother, Brother Novak Young. And this vitality drink is called Ambrosia. Ambrosia, the excellent vitality drink. And you can check out what Ambrosia by going to his website, CompleteOneBeauty.com. CompleteOneBeauty.com. Or you can give him a call at 678-508-7254. 678-508-7254. The Chemimorphosis Conference is this weekend, December 7th through the 9th in Washington, D.C., Union Temple Baptist Church, and the Thurgood Marshall Center. The conference celebrates the 10th anniversary of the Asa Restoration Project, the first American African-funded archaeological excavation in Kemet of the 25th Dynasty excavation. And that is this weekend. Check it out. Go online to their website, IKG Cultural Resource Center. IKG Cultural Resource Center. Chemimorphosis, and I'm looking forward to being in D.C. and enjoying myself with the brothers and sisters, for show, for show. Inye Sesum is the daily revolutionary thoughts by Brother Baba Baruti, put it together. And of course, today is the 3rd of December. But there were some other ones that were really good that I want to, you know, kind of go back to, you know. Like, I tell you what, I just go back. I wanted to do one that was on Saturday, but I'll just do yesterday and today, December 2nd. A lie is nothing for a liar to tell. Johnny May Lloyd. It is one thing to lie. It is another thing to know the truth, but spawn even more lies to buy time because so many of those you oppress righteously refuse to lose memory of your forked tongue as they find their way and discard yours. I call it imperfect lies, the telling of more and more lies based on defending the incorrect originals. When you have told so many lies on top of each other over the centuries that telling the truth about one of your early fundamental lies would unravel all the lies that have been defensively piled on top of it, thus exposing you for what you truly are, you have no choice but to continue to lie. When your ability to maintain your privilege and control others' reality is based on the lies about what you are and who you are, you cannot tell the truth. So you must question. At one point do you begin to believe the truth of liars? If I have lied to you for hundreds of years, when do you start to believe that I'm telling you the truth? when I again place my hand on the holy book, when I again swear on my mama's grave, when I again cross my heart and hope to die, when I again say, look in my eyes, when I again write it in a contract, unless you have never stopped hoping that I would stop lying, you have no question when Western or Westernized tongues impart lies as truth. If you have lied, if I have lied to you for 20, 50, 100, 1,000 years, will you ever believe me? I should hope not. Affirm, I do not give the truth of liars a second thought. Affirm, I do not give the truth of liars a second thought. December 3rd. Where there are no ground rules, confusion has a warm place to grow. Lena Makita. Because a number of us find ourselves blindly walking around without an identity, other than that which caught our eye in someone else's dump, we think Europeans are promoting baby making and family for us. We believe they're about the business of procreation and family because they believe in one love. But now we should know better than to believe the truth of liars. What they do to survive. And survival for these people means the death of those they feel is an eternal competitive survival battle with. And I'm reading it again. And survival for these people means the death of those they feel in an internal competitive survival battle with. The realization that they have been experiencing zero and negative population growth for many decades is the single most important force pushing Europeans to encourage their women and laboratories to produce as many babies as possible. Ironically, they are trying to reverse a sexual craze that matured into self-absorbed capitalistic audio spermicide that has increasingly left them barren as a people. Auto-spiriticide, killing of the spirit. In their drive to stave off a nearly irreversible genetic annihilation of their own asexual doing, they are pushing any and all procreation initiatives that hold even the most remote possibility of increasing their population numbers relative to that of others they have always considered less desirable breeds. This, of course, has been accompanied by coaching these undesirables to engage in the same thoughts and behaviors that led to their zero and negative population growth. Affirm, I am procreating and rearing an African nation. I repeat, affirmed, I am procreating and rearing an African nation. Inye Sesim. Brothers and sisters, it's always great. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you participating, taking your time of your day. But let me just say this, and I've said it and I'll say it again. Whether one person listens or no people listen, I'm here and I'll be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and all other relative times. Because this is my contribution to helping shape the minds of our people, to help infuse us with an African reality. And not just here in America, no. This is global, because our problem is global. So whatever I can do, I will do. You know, this past week, last week, of course, was still November, and I did get the Arrow newspaper in November, but I didn't get a chance to read it. So I now have the November edition of the Arrow newspaper for the Institute of the New World, the New African World, the Organization for African Unity Incorporated. Love them. Love what they're about. What are they about? Okay. What does the Organization for African Unity want? We want to see the divisions of African people come to an end, don't we? Don't we want to see all this division and at each other and all this madness? Don't we want to see that come to an end? We want to see the African community move collectively to develop African-owned and operated businesses. Not independently, but collectively. Pulling our resources together, developing cooperatives. We want to develop a sense of African culture. We want to control the education of our children through the creation of African-centered institutions that teach and train our youth and adults alike in the knowledge of self and the universe we live in. We want institutions built for the constructive educational cultural development of our community. We want to see a cadre of young men and women emerge with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. We want to see African value systems come about that will prepare us for a more collective and productive way of life. This value system is the Nguzo Saba, or the seven principles: Umoja, unity; Kujichagulia, self-determination; Ujima, collective responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics; Nia, purpose; Kumani, Kumba, creativity; and Imani, faith. Those seven principles, the seven principles that we should put into our everyday lives. Every day we strive for unity. Every day we believe in self-determination. Every day we work with one another. Every day we spend money with one another. Every day we understand our purpose. Every day we admire the beautiful creativity of us as a people. And every day we have the faith to bring it about, the faith in God, but equally as important, the faith in ourselves and each other. So looking at the magazine, looking at the newspaper over, I want to read, once again, Baba, a great ancestor, Baba Phil Johnson. Whereas he was called Babu, like I'm called Babu, because that's a Babu was my grandfather, Baba Phil Johnson's outstanding narratives as his byline. Of course, he's now been dead a few years. He's an ancestor, but these are great, and this one, as you'll see, is equally as good. There is a weakness in African logic. Logic is a system or method of reasoning used to get at truth or to establish clarity in relationships. When our logic leads us to live out obvious and not so obvious contradictions, as through though it is a correct living, it's time for a radical overhaul. We talk about the American government as a democratic government with a constitution that protects the rights and liberties of all the citizens. A government exercises either directly by the people or through elected representatives with principles of social equality and respect for the individual within the community. This description does not fit the long, brutal struggle for parity that we have been and still are forced to endure in America, whether we are dealing with local, state, or federal government. What we experience is the forceful will of the tyrannical majority through their shameful, brutal, discriminatory, and dehumanizing laws and policies with no authentic process for relief or elimination of such unhealthy conditions. Yet we are content to call this democracy, while slowly and painfully being silenced by brutal force of the madding out of occasional liberties to a few selective Africans. How can placing 100 or 200 people of color in a structure of 1 million Caucasians who were put there to maintain the power resulted in sharing of power? All that can ever come out of this structure is what we see and feel. Tokenism, false generosity, and other creative forms of manipulation. If we are going to advance, clearing up this faulty logic is a must. For over 400 years, we have been subjugated to enslavement, segregation, integration at the hands of the so-called democratic government. We knew then, and we know now, that none of the above systems are democratic. These systems are oppressive and exploitive. In none of these systems do we, as African people, have any rights to freely express our will as a people or to share equally in the exercise of state power. There is no problem in our reasoning to live through contradictions every day, knowing that not many years ago, America was an open bastion of African hatred and discrimination. It was the law to humiliate and kill Africans with no fear or reprisal. Yet today, we allow the system to call us racist and make us ashamed to come together to protect and build a quality of life for ourselves and for our people. Viewing education from a historical and current standpoint reveals yet another contradiction. During our captivity, African people were restricted from learning to read, write, and do arithmetic. Those who were caught violating this law were often put to death. In a system of segregation, the education was inferiorized through controlling the quality of information, equipment, and teachers. With integration came all kinds of bogus tests and standards to control and manipulate the entry procession and exit of African students from Caucasian-controlled institutions and African institutions were controlled by Caucasian money, the historically black colleges, the UNCF. Yet we proclaim that we get a better education in Caucasian-controlled institutions of learning. I repeat, yet we proclaim that we get a better education in Caucasian-controlled institutions of learning. There is a very questionable view of the attitude of African students who have matriculated through these schools display. They display disrespect. There is a very questionable in the view of the attitudes of African students who have matriculated through these schools display. They display disrespect for being African and show disrespect towards the other people who are African. These students display an unhealthy loyalty to the Caucasian community, choosing to support them regardless of if they are just or unjust. What great need we have for intelligentsia to deal with the multitude of problems facing African people. We can ill afford to have our young people to abandon their responsibility to us as a culture for Caucasian acceptance. Everywhere African people are, we are sweltering under the extreme heat of injustice. Hoover launched a program, J. Edgar Hoover, against Dr. King, proclaiming him to be the worst criminal in the U.S. J. Edgar Hoover launched the COINTELPRO and said that Dr. King declaring him the worst criminal in the U.S. Out of that sick, demented concept came the COINTELPRO, a program that would attack, neutralize, discredit, and kill Dr. King, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, the Black Panthers, SCLC, SNCC, CORE, and many other dedicated African men and women who were speaking out and acting out for freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity. Yet the real criminals live on, lightening up their net of oppressive exploitation in the name of democracy. How did we come to this self-destructive logic? What happened to our minds that allowed two dramatically opposing ideas to exist simultaneously while one guides our actions to serve and submit without resistance to oppression and the other interprets this action as freedom and democracy? What took place in our experience that allows us to see and hear awesome destruction of African life and still depend on those who are destroying us to save us. What matters of mine can bow down and serve the God of those who oppress us? A God that blesses them with power to take our land, wealth, and to enslave our people. A God that sanctions the KKK to castrate and kill African men in particular, but African people in general. It boggles the mind to see us looking up and praying to some icon, taking instructions from the same book that justifies and sanctions our enslavement and human destruction. African people, there is a weakness in our logic. And if we are to survive, we must clear it up. Is there anybody who feels what I feel, who sees what I see, and would like to clear it up? Let's come together and work our minds. We need each other. None of us can do it alone. We need each other. Ashe. That was a powerful narrative. And as they usually are, but that one specifically because and it coincides with the Inyesesim that I read earlier. In the Inyesesim, we talked about liars for who have been lying to us consistently for a very long time. These liars. And then when are they to be believed? Everything they do. The religion they gave us, that's to me, that's the deepest part. That's what this narrative was talking about. How can we believe these liars? And they give us something and that we put all our faith in it. To such degree that we neglect. In fact, I just read another piece that talked about African spirituality under attack in some countries because of Christian fundamentalists. Because, you know, they've always said that what we do is evil and spooky. Oh, man, excuse me, y'all. Evil and spooky. But what they do is righteous. And sometimes I can't even say this stuff. I really can't. Because I don't hate anybody. I don't. But what I do hate is a system that Caucasians have created for themselves. A system that gives them the top position with everybody else at a lower position with us, African people, at the lowest position. Because of what they have done, to have dark skin is to be despised around the world. Even in countries that have dark skinned people, they are relegated to a subservient or no position or an invisible position. When you see like Brazil or parts of Southeast Asia where there are dark-skinned people, they're not on advertisement. They're not on television. To have melanated skin, which is the beautiful thing in nature for human beings, is something to be ashamed of, to be embarrassed by, to try to eliminate, to try to eradicate, to bleach it, to whiten it. Sickening. It is sickening. There is a weakness in our logic, brothers and sisters. And that weakness has caused us to believe in things Just like that great visionary Stevie Wonder, when you believe in things, You don't understand. That's right. You suffer. You suffer. And we are a suffering people because we believe in things that we don't have a damn clue. We believe in things simply because Caucasians told us to, made us, impacted us, put it on us, imposed it on us. And look at us now. And honestly, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be extremely difficult for us. And what's necessary for us. I tell you, I got a little time. I'm going to play this. I want to play this. Because I think this is a good piece here. I think this is a good piece. Yeah, let me do it this way. Because I picked this. This is, saw this on email. And I tell you, sometimes, you know, you see something. And you're saying to yourself, man, that's deep, you know. And you're saying to yourself, wow. But that brother or that sister, you know, brought it. That was deep, you know. And so when I saw this the other day, but since, you know, we're talking about a few things today, I wanted to bring this particular piece to our attention, you know. And I want you to check this out. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think, okay? Here we go.
You know, it's funny how we can believe that we are created in God's image and then recreate God in ours. A letter to the man standing on the corner holding a sign that said, God hates gays. You know, I've never seen exactly who it is that you paperclip your knees, melt your hands together, and pray to, but I think I know what he looks like. I bet your God's about 5'10". Bet he weighs 185. He probably stands the way a high school diploma does when it's next to a GED. I bet your God. Bet your God has a mullet. I bet he wears flannel shirts with no sleeves, a fanny pack, and says words like, get her done. I bet your God. Bet your God plays a banjo. I bet he watches Fox News, Dog the Bounty Hunter, voted for Donald Trump, and loves Bill O'Reilly. I bet your God's a politician from Arizona. I bet his high school served racism in the cafeteria and offered hate speech as a second language. I bet he has a swastika on the inside of his throat and racial slurs tattooed to his tongue just to make intolerance more comfortable in his mouth. I bet he has a burning cross as a middle finger and Jim Crow underneath his nails. Your God is a Confederate flag's wet dream conceived on a day when the sky decided to slice her own wrist. I bet your God has a drinking problem. I bet he sees the bottom of a shot glass more often than his own children. I bet he pours whiskey on his dreams until they taste like good ideas. Probably cusses like an electric guitar with Tourette's plugged into an ocean. I bet he yells like a schizophrenic nail gun, damaging all things that care about him enough to get closer. But there are angels in heaven with black eyes and broken halos who claim they fell down the stairs. I bet your God would have made Eve without a mouth and taught her how to spread her legs like a magazine, that she will never be pretty enough to be in. Sooner or later, you'll realize that you are praying to your own shadow, that you are standing in front of mirrors and worshiping your own reflection. Your God stole my God's identity. So next time you bend your knees, next time you bow your head, I want you to tell your God that my God is looking for him.
That was outstanding, wasn't it? It's deep. Yeah. Yeah.
that God is, and I guess as the brother presents it, you got to understand, you know, that when we talk about theology, spirituality, and I know yesterday many brothers and sisters went to a Christian institution, and whether it was Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, maybe Saturday went to a Seventh-day Adventist, maybe they went to Jehovah Witness, or they made Liberation Theology, African Centered Church. There are a number of them here, you know. And I know that these things always teach you about the lessons of life. And then, but what's interesting, they're trying to save your soul. They're not trying to help liberate African people. They're not trying to help us as a people collectively. They're trying to save your soul. That's why people can always be talking about, I'm blessed and highly favored. Because I'm saved. My people, my community, the African world is under attack, but I don't give a damn about them because I'm saved. And saved by a people whose image of God and that's right, brothers and sisters, Jesus and God are supposed to be one and the same based upon their theology. One and the same. With the mass amount of contradictions. What's another word for contradictions? Somebody said a contradiction. A lie. A lie. These people have been consistently lying to us, but yet we embrace their theology. As if it's our own. We embrace it. We embrace it as if it's our own. And we defend it. And we fight against it. We fight those who challenge it. I was in a restaurant, had me a t-shirt on with my aunt. Had the principles under the t-shirt of truth, righteousness, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order, so forth, right under the shirt. And a gentleman near the door that you enter and exit at this particular table. I'm at the beautiful restaurant here in Atlanta, right down the street from my house, right here on Cascade. I'm at the beautiful. And there's always a number of older brothers and sisters. And you know, in your community, they may be at McDonald's or another specific restaurant. These brothers, you know, they've worked, they've done this, they've raised families and so forth. And they just want to have socialization with some other brothers and you know, and have coffee and talk and so forth. You know, it's what they do. And so there's by the door. And one of the brothers said, "What's that on your shirt?" I explained to him it was an ancient Kemetic, what the Greeks called Egypt, God. It's Ma'at. It's what rules society. And so I'm talking to him, and then another gentleman says, "Well, what are Jesus?" I said, "No, it's ain't Jesus." "Well, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it. You know, it ain't Jesus that I wanted, you know, because I believe that, what it say that, you know, you have no gods before me, and Jesus is the way, the truth and the light and the only way, and nobody can go to the Father but through the Son and all this other." Okay. Because that's what we have been trained to believe. And because we don't want to challenge it, we don't want to challenge it because you're trained not to. If you, brother or sister, can challenge it. You have trained your mind. You have been able to reject any and everything Caucasians present to you. You are blessed. You are blessed because you are bombarded 24/7, 365 with all of these images, all of these notions, all of this rhetoric about who and what you are not. And so if you're able to feel good about yourself, feel good about you being who you are, and have a healthy respect for yourself and other African people, and you reject whatever the Caucasian brings you because you know they are liars. In their system, in their court system, supposedly, if you are a juror, and this point brings to me the OJ trial. But in the OJ trial, Mark Furman, and maybe Mark Furman, the police officer, probably had some truth, probably had some real hard evidence and proof, whatever that might have been. But he was shown to be a liar. He perjured himself on the stand. And so everything that he could have brought was stricken, and he was dismissed. He was dismissed. Does that happen all the time? I doubt it. Because in this kind of system, liars get away. Look at Donald Trump. Look at Trump. Trump never, ever stopped lying. Even back when I first heard about him and seen him on television, been in an interview and knowing about him and all the other stuff he has done. And of course, he'll never apologize. It's just like I saw a piece somebody sent about Bush, Herbert Walker, George, not George W., but George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker. And because, you know, he's dead and not all his praise and so forth, you know. And of course, when he died, the first thing I thought of was Willie Horton. You know, how he used the image of a black man to beat down Michael Dukakis to win the election in 88. You know. And they say the only thing that prevented him from being reelected in 92 against Clinton was the fact that he said as a campaign promise, no new taxes. But he had to go back on that. Probably some other stuff, but who knows. But Bush shot down a plane and killing civilians and so forth. He didn't, but under his administration, it happened. And he said, we never apologize. It's the same thing with all the other ones. They don't apologize. They never apologize for what they have done to us. Because by them, they're saying, because if I apologize, then I'll admit that I'm wrong. And now you can come against me in a court of law because I was wrong. So I ain't apologizing. I'm saying it was bad. I'm saying it was tough. I'm saying it was not good. But hey, you should be glad. You're in America. You should be glad. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get off into climate change and capitalism. Climate change and capitalism. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Together, 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 very special.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, other programs on Time for an Awakening Media this evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. I'm sorry. Oh, there it is. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You heard the sound of Teddy Pendergrass, the sound of Philadelphia. Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. We'll be playing Kwanzaa music on my breaks here all throughout the month, just like they play. You know, my daughter said, well, you don't know it ain't Christmas until you hear Santa Claus go straight to the ghetto. Well, when I was in the car on Saturday, I heard Santa Claus go, and Saturday was December 1st. I did hear some Christmas music prior because, you know, they really started around Thanksgiving time and sometimes even before, because it's all about the commercialism. It's all about putting it into your mind and you going out and spending that money. But I heard Santa Claus Go Straight to the Ghetto, Temptations, Silent Night, and Donny Hathaway's This Christmas. And to me, I mean, I ain't into it, but I'll tell you, those are beautiful songs. There's some great songs. But these Kwanzaa songs, Brother Kwame and Shavinduka out of Chicago, man, beautiful songs I'm going to be playing on for Kwanzaa. We got a caller. Let's take this caller, 215.
Hey, Brother Oshie, how you doing, my good brother?
Hey, it's Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing, man? What's happening?
I'm doing fine, Brother
good,
Oshie.
Good.
I'm doing great, man. You know, Brother Oshie, you know, as we discussed last night on Time for the Awakening, and even discussed to a certain degree on the Black Terrestrial Radio Station here today, you know, we must be the only people that I know of, and again, this is no knock on our people, it's out of love and correctness, that will continually pray and feel sorry or extol sympathies to people that have shown no humanity towards us,
right,
that did all they could while they was on this earth to devastate the Black community, criminalize the Black community. I'm talking about the creep that just passed away,
right,
that they having all this here big brouhaha about. You
right
know, he was no friend of Black people.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
I mean, he was the enemy of Black people when he was a CIA director,
mm-hmm,
when he became vice president, president, so on and so forth. He gave us Uncle Clarence Thomas,
mm-hmm,
and the despicable thing that he did with the Willie Horton thing, where he made the Black man to be a villain because this alleged gentleman was out on a furlough and raped this white woman. And by the way, Brother Oshie, around the same time that happened, there was a white man out on furlough, did the same thing, but he made the Black man into the villain,
oh sure,
of course,
oh sure,
you know what I mean?
I mean, you know, that's the thing to always demonize us,
exactly,
you know, that's the image, you know, that's the imagery of us. You know what's interesting, Joe, the imagery of us when these crackers brought us here was that we were soulless and docile and, you know,
mm-hmm,
and no culture to speak of, justifying our enslavement, justifying our captivity. And then of course once it was over, now we're the brutes. We're the no fit fathers, no fit mothers.
That's
you know,
right,
drug addicted, drug sellers. You know, all of this criminality, because that's the face that they want to put on us in this society. So,
yes,
so when
yes
the cops kill us, you know, they're pretty probably justified. It's probably deserved.
Exactly,
it.
Exactly. And you know, Brother Osh, you make a good point, because one of the brothers on the Black Terrestrial Radio said, he made a good point. He says that, he said, with all the stuff that white folks have done historically, the brutalities, the lynchings, the castrations, you know, the just the brutal killings of Emmett Till and black women and black men, just so on and so forth. He said, with all that happened, Brother Osh, and this is important for your audience and the time from the Wickedness audience, white people had the nerve to actually act like they're in fear of us. He said, if anything, we should be acting like we're in fear.
No doubt.
He said he made a little comment, and I kind of laughed, but he was, sometimes you have to use humor to make a point. He said, next time I get on the elevator, he said, the white woman start clutching her pocketbook, he said, I'm going to start clutching my body like I'm afraid she's going to do something to me. Hey, you know what I mean?
No,
he said,
really.
We should be the ones clutching ourselves, thinking that they might do something to us, as opposed to we doing something to them, you know?
Well, you know, one have argued that one of the reasons why this suppression and oppression continues because they believe that if given the opportunity, we will do to them what they did to us. And yes. Really, that is not who we are as a people.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
In fact, what we really want is you to leave us alone.
And that's the bottom line, Brother Osh. That's all we want is self-determination.
Exactly.
Leave, stop killing our people.
Yep.
Stop making racist laws to oppress and keep our people redlined. All these different laws they come over to keep our people in check. Stop doing that, and we gonna go, y'all go about your business and do what you do. Be the wicked devils you are. We go on and do what we do to try to be the righteous people we are. Okay. We ain't got no problem with that, you know. But see, that's not good enough for them. They don't even want to. They want to continue to do what they do. And mistreat us and stuff, and then had a nerve to be upset when we had pushback and fight back against it. I mean, you see clearly the attacks of Brother Osh that our people are under. You see it clearly, whether it be with Mark Lamont Hill, with the situation with Israel.
You see,
I mean, here, brother can't even say a free Palestine.
Exactly.
I mean, they
fired him. And in fact, they're trying to get rid of him at Temple.
They are. They're right there in the process now, trying to get the brother's job fired and stuff. And if you remember, Brother Osh, a couple of years ago, Dwight Howard, the basketball player, he didn't go into detail as far as like Mark Lamont Hill did. He just on his Twitter page, he put out a tweet that said he just want to see a free Palestine. No sooner than he said it, he was viciously attacked by designers, you know, because a lot of agents and stuff in the NBA,
right.
they white Jews. You got the last commission at the time, and the one you have now
exactly.
is Jewish. I mean, he got attacked viciously, and he had to retweeted real quick about how he apologized and he didn't mean no harm, and he'll stop being political. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan jumped right on his behalf for being such a coward. He said,
exactly.
"You call yourself Superman, brother, but you play punk y'all
exactly.
quicker than kryptonite there."
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You mean you're a human being? You can't have freedom of speech? You mean you tell me you're not allowed to say you want a free Palestine? I mean, fast. It was sad to see a black man cave in so fast, Brother Osh.
I know.
But this is what they do. They got our people all over this country, our black politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They got our religious leaders. As soon as them Zionists say jump, the Negroes say how high. And see, what always puzzles me, they'll jump up there and they'll jump all over Minister Farrakhan or Leonard Jeffries for saying something critical about Israel or the Zionists, but yet you got a Jewish rabbi who's a close associate of Netanyahu, the thug over there in Israel, the prime minister. He called black people monkeys past year. Called black people monkeys, and when they confronted him about it, Brother Osh, he said, well, it's justified because it's in our holy book, the Talmud. Not one condemnation from Keith Ellison, from that punk Keith Ellison, not one condemnation from Barbara Lee, from all the ones that jumped out there and denounced the minister and stuff. They didn't open up their damn mouth, but yet when them Jews say go after Farrakhan or go after Leonard Jeffries or whomever, or Mark Lamont Hill, they neck to do the bedding of the slave master.
Yep. If the European Jew goes, say, sick him, here you go, like a rabid dog.
Here they go. And that's what they're like a rabid dog. And that's one of the reasons, Brother Osh, why our people continually get no respect. And see, we're the only people, Osh, that they do that to, because any other ethnic groups criticize Jews, they don't come out like that. Like I said, when Pat Buchanan, who's a racist bigot, he has been critical of Israel over the years. When Pat Buchanan say things about them, first thing the Jews say, well, Pat Buchanan, but Pat shouldn't say stuff like that, you know. But they don't pick no four pegs ass out in the paper. Yeah. They don't call on the white people to denounce them like they do with black people. All they do is stop short. And the reason why, Brother Oshie, as I shared with Elliot and Richard, because, see, these people know, these white racist bigots in this country, the type they shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh a few months ago, see, they know that these people don't like black folks. But guess what, Brother Oshie? They don't like Jews either. Yeah. And they don't want to rile these white boys up. So they figure, no matter what these white politicians might say about Israel or Jews, they figure they better keep the criticism very low key because they don't want to rile up the sleeping giant. And then these white boys hate them. They vicious. They'll have no problem doing all kinds of vicious things to them. So they just let it ride. But let somebody black say something, and here come the floodgates open.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting?
It's that simple, bro.
Man, you know what's interesting about these Caucasians is the fact that, you know, these are European Jews. These aren't.
Yep.
These aren't the Hebrews of biblical times. These aren't These aren't the Sephardic Jews. These aren't, you know, the Falsa Jews, which are the original Jews, the Falsa Jews or the Sephardic Jews. These are the Ashkenazi Jews. These are the Khazar. These are European Jews. These people accepted Judaism as a religion over a thousand some years ago. They have no right to claim Palestine. They have no genetic right, no DNA right all. You know, but yet
they don't.
But yet they are the ones who dominate and control Judaism. And they dictate.
You see the same white supremacy connection, but Oshie, even in South Africa, you got white, as we speak right now, you got white folks in South Africa upset because the president ruled that they must give the land back to black people. I mean, this is what these devils do. They go all over the world taking people's land, and when you fight back and push back against them, you are a terrorist.
Yeah.
You're the bad person. So because the people in South Africa rightfully get their land back and stuff, they wrong. And same with Israel, because the Palestinians want to fight back to take care of the land that's rightfully theirs. They terrorists. They you know, I mean, this foolishness has got to stop, Brother Ocean. This madness, this cowardness. People have got to stand up against this scourge of white supremacy, whether it be in Israel, whether it be in South Africa, whether it be in the United States. We have got to continue to push back, because if we don't, brother, we can forget about it.
And you're right.
Their foot's not in our behind, but up our behind.
Yeah, and you're right.
So we got to do what we got to do and stand strong and stuff. And we got to, and like the minister say, these little punkified Negroes that they got to, they pump out there in front of us, we got to ostracize them from the black community. Either you with us or you against us. There can't be no middle ground, no hiding, ducking around, being a pot cow. Either you with us or you against us. It's that simple, bro. There's no time for play game, no middle ground here. We got to have black men and women that's going to stand up with us or not. Then they can get the hell out of the way. That's all.
So,
Brother Oshie, I want to thank you for your time, brother.
You too.
And stuff. I always try to call when I get a spare day.
I know.
Day, like
I appreciate
I'm
man.
Off today, so.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate you, Oshie. You welcome,
and listen,
brother. Keep doing what you're doing, Oshie. Be blessed, bro.
You too. Listen, I will see you this Sunday coming up. I'll see you this Sunday, Brother Joe. Look forward to it, too. Look forward to seeing all those brothers in Philadelphia. Me and Brother Quake, who are going to the conference in D.C., and from there we're going to Philly to talk with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. And listen, last night Ralph texted me because he went to D.C. for the conference with Irritated Genie. Went to the conference with Irritated Genie and Brother Baba Baruti, and he met Baba Baruti and got some of his books. In fact, he had got he had got that book, you know. We got a caller 215, go ahead. Good afternoon. Okay. You don't want to talk to me, you just want to listen. And now that's good. But I thank Brother Joe and all the brothers. I look forward to seeing them this Sunday in Philly. You know, I've talked about, and I've, you know, even when I first started doing this radio program, I talked about climate change because I read an article about 30 years ago talking about climate change. Talking about the greenhouse effects and, and they stopped using fluorocarbons and stuff like that. So I began to talk about that. So I'm going to read an article here on climate change and capitalism, because the reality is this. It's become very clear to me why this planet is headed for destruction, because of these greedy, dirty, rotten son of a bitches. These cracker ass son of a bitches. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I apologize, because I ain't supposed to be cousin. But you know what? Sometimes, brother, it has to be said. And at this point, in you know, when I'm thinking about it, because if you think about the future, these son of a bitches, these greedy son of a bitches have destroyed the future, not just of African people, but humanity, because of their short-sightedness, because of their willingness to continue to deal with coal, continue to deal with fossil fuels. When 30-something damn years ago, the scientists told them, hey, if you keep doing this, this is what's going to happen. Oh, I got another call. I'm going to take this call. 646-646. Go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, OC, you hey. Got me here cracking up, man, with you dropping the signs on these greedy son of a bitches. I just had to start laughing. You know, the bottom line is, man, that the white man just ain't good for nothing.
No.
See, I mean, all he do is bring death and destruction and misery.
That's
nothing. There's nothing life-giving about the cracker, man.
There isn't.
Seriously.
There isn't.
Seriously, there's nothing life-giving about him, man. His history has been shown to be nothing more than a destructive symbol of how not to be. I mean, in all honesty, seriously, what good could you say about a cracker? I mean, what has he really done for humanity that isn't tied to him making a dollar off of it? So let's say that he comes up with the cure for cancer. He won't give you the cure until he can monetize it to its highest level.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just everything about his history has been about death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like one of the only individuals that goes all around the world and interacts with other people, and all it leads to is death. It doesn't lead to nothing harmonious, peaceful, or anything. Like I've said numerous times, there's no place on this planet where people of color have been living amongst themselves in peace and harmony, and the white man becomes in their midst, and it just doesn't lead to absolute death and chaos. There's no place in the world.
Jay,
so if that's what you have as an introduction to that type of species, that type of animal, that type of so-called human, what would be the best thing to do? If me and you was on the island, and two Caucasians came on the island, what should we do?
Kill their ass.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
I'm sorry. Kill their ass, because they're going to kill you.
We should kill them.
Right. Exactly. And I would say to them in their face, based upon history, I'm going to kill you, because history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. I'm looking at your history and how you related to humanity, and particularly to us. And all you ever done was destroy us. So no, I ain't giving you no sustenance. I ain't giving you no ration. I ain't giving you nothing. You out of here. You off the island.
First thing you got to do is kill him. You got to kill him. Bury them, dig them up, kill them again, and then burn them. That's all.
Well, that sounds like, hey, Jay, that sounds like college. That's not, AJ, that sounds like Khalid Muhammad. I love it.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. That's where I was at that speech, too.
Were you?
Were you? At the one time. Oh, man, Khalid, you know, I'm going to be honest, man.
I love Khalid.
Yep. That's why I try to come up with some of the good words of Khalid. I mean, you know, Khalid was all of the great things. Plus, he was a hell of a showman. You know, I don't care what nobody say. You got to put a little bit of laughter in everything, or you'll go nuts.
Yeah.
You can't always be serious all the time, because this thing is too painful. I mean, I was so happy yesterday when I heard that Brother Ralph got a chance to see Baba Barudi.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah.
I'm so glad that Ralph had the opportunity to get a couple of his books.
Right.
Because as far as I'm concerned, right now, as far as the living elders and scholars are alive at this time, I put Baba Barudi right there.
Oh, no doubt.
Dr. Boone and Dr. Clark.
As our
resident new elder and scholar with a direction of where we should go.
Right.
He is the only man at this time that I would ever follow on where we should go as a people. I just think that Baba Barudi and his Queen Yah are some of the most honest and purest Africans that we have at this time. And the beauty is that he also is a close colleague with Sister Mimar Ali. So the circles that he rolls in are the circles and the leadership that we should be following. I had the laugh yesterday. Ava Muhammad was talking about separation. And, you know, I got a correction last night from Brother, Fred Hampton.
Oh, yeah, Fred Hampton Jr. Fred Hampton Jr.
In regard to fratricide and genocide.
Okay.
You know, and I guess one of the things that the nation is pushing right now is separation. But, you know, like I was saying to her, here it is, you got the minister right there in Chicago. Why can't he stop the fratricide that's going on? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. On the South Side. He's right there on the South Side. You know what I mean? My whole thing is this. If you want to separate, you have already an organization. Why don't you do like Jim Jones did and pull up your membership and go separate? And show the United States government what you can do, and then ask them to give you some land and territory. Because I'm just not going along with that scam, because that's a scam to me, bro. Because if you got an organization with as many members as you have, why don't y'all all come together and go to some place like the North Dakota or somewhere else? Or that nature, South Dakota, buy up some land and build your nation and show the United States government what you can do, and then ask them to help you. Oh, because the realization is most of your members, I wouldn't say most, but a great deal of your members had to get up this morning and go to the daddy for a job. Because I don't know what you producing. I don't know. I remember when I was coming up, the Nation of Islam had businesses.
Yeah.
I don't know right now how many businesses they have on the level that I did, because at one time when I was a kid, 116th Street all the way up to 125th Street, they had around 5 or 6 businesses. I know I could always get my steak and take.
Yeah, same here.
I think they even had some other businesses or cleaners.
Yeah.
I know my father used to, once a month, get his fish from them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now, you know, I don't even know in Harlem if they have a Steak and Take no more. They may. I don't know because I don't, you know, I don't go around on that or the
you know,
that area.
You know, let me say this,
much,
Jay.
You know, I moved there.
Yeah, let me say this. So, I think that, you know, the idea of separating within this country, or the idea that the Republic of New Africa had, or the idea that the Nation of Islam had, which is pretty much the same thing, saying that we need land here in America. I'm sorry. I can't envision that because you're in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. And so then you need to look at the history. Once again, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. What does the history tell you? Whenever we rose to do something, Rosewood, Tulsa, Raleigh-Durham, Elaine, Arkansas, Allentown in Los Angeles, every one of those places, there is not one place, Jay, or listeners, there's not one place in this country where we as African people control that economy and control what's happening in that one place like we did in Tulsa. And
well,
what happened?
They told the white man that we were just talking about 2 or 3 minutes ago. He can't let us go nowhere and be in peace and harmony amongst ourselves without him coming in there and at some point in time destroying it. That's why would the hell I want to be here and have some land here when I need to take my black behind back home?
That's right.
And build up Africa.
Yeah.
I don't want to build up no America. I want to go back to Africa,
because
figure out a way how we could protect ourselves and gain control of our military resources.
Because one of the things...
If I could do that, I would die a happy man.
I hear you.
Don't even have the right to use our resources to build our land, to do anything on the continent because of this cracker. And we're talking about we want to separate from this devil here and build some place here. That's game. That's game to me.
Yeah, because, I mean, even with the Olatunji village in South Carolina, they're not sovereign. They're not sovereign. Right. They pay taxes. They got to pay water bill. They got to do all of those things. They have a land. I mean, I understand that. But I'm talking about sovereignty. I'm talking about self-determination. I'm talking about independence. And so if you're just saying, I just want to separate and get my own land, I'm, you know, no, that's not going to happen, particularly in the very midst of an open and sworn enemy who has proven over history that he will sabotage you. He will try to destroy you. So, I don't want to go there.
And this is why, if you notice, let's be honest, they never want to promote the message of Dr. Baruti, sovereignty. That's Dr. Baruti's message, sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They never want to promote that. Negroes don't want to hear nothing about sovereignty. But now they want to try and create some sort of argument about separation. That's you know what that's like? That's like kindergarten and college course. You want me to go for the kindergarten course when I should be going for the college course. Separation ain't gonna change the equation in this situation that we facing with this beast. He never gonna give us anything and then just leave us alone. And then on top of that, if he do give you something and leave you alone, how long you think that's gonna last?
Yeah.
If it becomes successful. Then once it becomes successful, then what do he do? He come in and destroy it or claim it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you really wanna separate from this cracker, Figure out a way how you can identify some place that will lead you homeward bound.
That's right. Go home.
You understand what I'm saying?
Home.
Like I always said, when you listen to that song by Kenny Burke, keep rising to
the
top.
Yep.
What is he talking about?
Yep.
Going homeward bound.
Rising to the
That's
top.
That's what it's all about. Homeward bound. Because anytime you in this country, Brother Osi, you are given the opportunity to, yes, do certain things. And yes, you are allowed to get a certain degree of success. But when it's all said and done, they control you and they can take it away from you anytime they want. Look at the great super Negro, Mark Lamont Hill. Oh, that's a star Negro. Oh, that's a Negro everybody looks up to.
Yeah.
He's like that talking about Eric Michael Dyson.
Yeah.
But the because thing these, is this.
Right, because these were real.
What did the daddy do?
Right, because these were real learned brothers and sisters in that way. They have reached the heights of the halls of academia. They were all, you know, but once this man went to wherever, was that in front of the United Nations? Yeah, United Nations.
Yeah.
He was at the UN and he talked about doing something for Palestine. He talked about doing something for Palestine. And right away, CNN fires him and they're trying to get it. And they're trying to get him out of Temple University. And probably more than likely will, you know.
Hey, let me say this to you right quick. What do you think they would have did to him if he was at Morehouse?
Oh, they would have been done, got rid of him. Are you kidding? Those schools, those so-called...
Morehouse would have to let him go with the quickness, even if he had tenure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now think about it. I don't think he got tenure at Temple. Matter of fact, I know he ain't got tenure at Temple. The fact of the matter is...
No.
Temple once said... that he had freedom of speech and that they wasn't going to let him go. But now, from my understanding, a Jewish board member or trustee is upset about it, and he want him gone.
Listen, the kind of money...
Let's see how much he capitulates.
The kind of money that the European Jews manipulate us with, you know, really, you know, we sell our soul to them for crumbs, literally, you know. So that's why... Mark Lamont Hill will be gone from Temple University just like he was fired from CNN because of the European Jews and their position of influence on this society.
But what I'm saying is this. If we was really about it, if we was a people really had some sort of power, if we was a people who was really about our business,
we would have protected him.
We would be totally protected.
Exactly. We could have protected him.
Negro peed star.
Yeah.
Where are the Negro peeds that love him at coming to his rescue?
Yeah.
Where are the only one, and this is surprising, the only one that I really heard academia-wise stand up and give him any type of support was Cornel West.
Okay,
but the media that spoke to Cornel was not regular media. It was one of these outside media agencies that spoke to him when I saw it. But the bottom line is this: if they want to get rid of his black behind, they gonna get rid of his black behind.
Right.
And black people ain't going to do nothing about it. Except it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
And if they do get rid of him, I ain't going to feel sorry for him because he's disrespectful. Mm. It's not like he's not a disrespectful type of cat when it comes down to kissing up and doing favor for the Jew. And now the Jew decided they wanted to spank him because didn't he go after the minister in a slick kind of way? Didn't he go after Francis Quest Wellesley? So the bottom line is, he's always been a tool of the Jew, and they always used him when necessary. He just slipped up and used the wrong phrase because he thought he was in a safe place and that he had been such a good Negro that they would give him that pass. But his black behind didn't get that pass, and now he got to pay the piper and the dead.
To the dead.
So I gotta, feel sorry for him. And I don't care how good of a brother people like to say he is and what he does. He's disrespectful.
I hear you. Let's be real about it. Let me take this other call, Jay. Just hold on, okay? Let me take this other call.
All right.
All right, 602. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, yes, Brother Woshi and Brother Jay. Marcus here. All right, Brother Woshi, I tell you, one beautiful country that's flying under the radar is Botswana.
Botswana.
Botswana, yeah. Brother. Botswana got it going on under the cover.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The cost of living in Botswana for, if you
I think Sister Susumi, who's calls in, she was in Botswana, might be there now, you know.
Botswana is beautiful, brother.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And the cost of living there, they have worked it out where they have subsidized a lot of the food supply in Botswana. So they make the food real cheap, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful country, I tell you. You know.
Well, let me just say this. You know, I'm promoting sovereignty, and what that means is that nobody decides for us. There are no dictates outside of who we are and what we're about. We don't have any dispute about land. We don't have a dispute about anything. Everything on the land, everything around it, in it, under it, is us. And we decide how we and what we do. That's sovereignty. That cannot happen here. We cannot be sovereign here. We cannot even be separated here independently, because we are in the midst of an open, sworn enemy who has proven time and time again he will do any and everything that he feels he has to do to eliminate us.
Yep.
See,
another thing I like with what they do there, the women there, they are natural. They are, you know, most of them are natural, and they don't use bleaching cream.
All right.
I was interviewed about, what about bleaching cream here? Bleaching cream? We say, no, we don't do that down here.
I hear you.
We are natural people. We love our natural self. So, that's another country we can look into. So anyway,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank
brother.
You, my brother. All right, peace. Mm-hmm. Praise Brother Marcus. Thank him. Let me get off into this article I want to get off into. Just bear with me here. It's not going to be long. Because like I said, dealing with this issue of climate change, and now I understand. Well, I've really understood, but here it kind of substantiates what I'm talking about. With climate change, capitalism could literally destroy the Earth by 2040. 21 years away. 21 years, not long. 21 years away. In fact, I could still be living. Man, hope I am. I'd be, 80-something? I'd be 85? 86, I could still be living, but I don't want to see it like this. I don't want to see the destruction that is going to happen if nothing is done. In fact, I believe, based upon what this article says and based upon what my understanding is, nothing's going to be done. Earth's leading scientists issue a dire warning Sunday night. Climate change is not just a problem that future generations must deal with. It's here already, and it's worse than we previously thought. Bottom line, climate change will kill a significant amount of people on this planet if we don't do something unprecedented in the next 10 years. A landmark report for the United Nations Scientific Panel on Climate Change paints a far more dire picture of the immediate consequences of climate change than previously thought, and says that avoiding the damage requires transforming the world economy at a speed and scale that has no documented historic precedents. We got a call, 267. Call, 267.
Brother Oshie, this is Brother Joe. How you doing?
Hey, brother. All right.
I got books over. Yeah, see, I'm a type of Brother Oshie. I say what I say, and I mean what I mean. I respect Jay, but it don't matter to me whether Jay like Minister Farrakhan or not. That's his problem. I mean, that's on him. Whether you like him or not, the minister gonna do what he got to do. Now, I know Mark LaMahel personally. When I know somebody personally, I'm gonna go to bat for him. I don't agree with Brother Mark on everything, because he is a good brother. I've known the brother for years.
Okay.
So I'm gonna definitely defend his character, whether Jay agree with it or not. That's fine. I respect Brother Jay, but I know what kind of human being he is. He's a good brother.
Okay.
Everybody got shortcomings. He made whatever he said or whatever about Dr. Francis Crossing. If he said it, I disagree with him on that. But I don't mean I'm gonna throw him under the bus. Brother Marco Mahill is an intelligent brother, and he's a good brother. I've seen this brother do things for black people in the city that you'll never see make the news, brother. I know this for a fact. And again, I told him right. I said, Brother Mark. I said, I understand what's going on. I said, I know a lot of times when they would come to Minister Farrakhan, these people use black folks as a litmus test. I said, but I appreciate what he did. He didn't throw Minister Farrakhan. What he said was that he didn't agree with the minister on certain things about the Jewish community or about the LGBT. And I said, well, Mark, ain't nothing the minister said that I disagree with, or as far as the Jewish community or the LGBT community. But I said, but I understand with your situation, you know, you're at temple, you got a daughter, you got a family to feed. I understand.
Okay.
And I know the history of the Nation of Islam, Brother Oshie, because our uncles and members in the Nation, even back in the 70s in the Nation's heyday, you still had brothers in the Nation that had businesses and sisters, but you still had some that still was working for the white man. Mm-hmm. That was just reality. They had to put food on their table. But the point I'm saying is that people are human, and they have shortcomings. Mark Mahill has his shortcomings. I have mine. But I know I will fight, and I will go to the bat for the brother's character because I know what kind of person the brother is. If he was some old handkerchief-head Negro brother, Oshie, I'd be on this radio throwing him under the bus. But I know what kind of person he is. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why I defend his character. I'm going to support the brother. If Temple get rid of him, things will cool down. He's young. He can get a job at another school somewhere. It's and stuff. So if they do get rid of him, they haven't got rid of him yet, but if they do, he'll survive, and he'll go on to do great things and stuff like that. Because as old saying, say, one monkey don't stop no show.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's old expression. I mean, I don't know if that's the term, but I'm just saying that one incident don't stop you and stuff. And I know for a fact that brother, his spirits is high. He's not down. And now I talk to Mark, I went by his coffee shop here in Philly the other day. The brother's spirits is not down. He's upbeat about things. He mm-hmm. said, well, Brother Joe, he says, I wouldn't be at CNN forever. He said, I get on for another network. He said, I'm going to still continue to be who I am. I'm going to continue to speak out and stuff like that. So I respect the brother. He's not letting that beat him down, Brother Ocean. Yeah. He still will be who he is.
I do, too. I definitely would give him some love for standing up to the Palestinian people.
That's right.
In their quest to be sovereign people, to run their own affairs, to have their own land. You know, because we understand, you know, what these European Jews have done. In concert with other Europeans, in concert with the United States and the UK. We know this. We know this, what they have done in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
that's why I continue to support the brother. Because like I said, Brother Oshie, if he was a handkerchief head brother that was a complete sellout, I wouldn't be on this radio even defending him because it would be worth my time. But
why would you try to open up his mouth?
Hold up, Jay. Hold up, Jay. Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
What position is this, Joe? Why do you have to say anything about the minister? Why do we have to say anything about Francis Quest Wellesley? Why is it he just can't say nothing at all? Why do you always have to reply to these crackers when these crackers demand a reply from you? Don't you know how to just say, I have no comment? I mean, that's what the real issue is. Why do you always have to run your mouth when it comes down to controversial things? Eric Michael Dyson does it. All of these people who are in the public eye do it. Why can't you just fall back and say nothing? It's not demanded upon you to say anything. And you know something? You'd be better off if you say nothing and then they take action against you. Then at that time, you could really have support.
But see, now, though, but see though, Jay,
brother, I would assume he is a good brother.
Yeah, Jay.
I would think that he's not.
Jay, because see, Jay and Joe, because sometimes the reality is that because of the position you have, I'm saying for you to say something, and this is what I want you to say. You see, in order for you to maintain this position, in order for you to maintain this position, I'm saying, you know, for you to say something in a way that supports who and what I'm about.
But what do that say, Oshie? They control you.
Exactly.
They own you. They dictate how you respond.
Exactly.
That's not manhood as an African.
I agree.
Hey, Brother Jay, can I respond? And see, Brother Jay, like I said, I don't disagree with you. I told this to Mark. I talk to the brother all the time. I told Mark twice. I said, Mark, when them devils say stuff like that, you and anybody, you best not to say anything at all. I said, I wouldn't give them the time of the day. I would say, ask me about Minister Farrakhan. If I didn't want to, you know, come out and say straight up defend the brother, I would say, look, I just got no comment and move on. Because you're right, they have no obligation to say anything. That's the mistake that a lot of our people make. They think they got to answer these people when they throw a mic in their face or whatever. I agree with you on that. But that being said, I know for a fact, and I stand by the brother, I know what kind of person Mark Lamont Hill. He's a good brother and stuff. The brother loves our people and stuff like that. But he, like a lot of our people, he needs to get that backbone where he say, look, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to talk about Minister Farrakhan, whatever issue y'all got. Well, you ask the minister. If you think he's an anti-Semite, you go ask him. Don't ask me. That would be the best response. So I agree with you on that, Brother Jay. They need to just stop asking these people when they throw those mics in their face. I agree with you on that 100%.
See, Joe, the thing is this. When you get into the position, and this is real talk, when you get into the position of Mark Lamont Hill and those other so-called TV pundits, you become addicted to that nonsense. It gives you a certain high. It gives you a certain celebrity. It does something to you. So yes, you are a good brother. Yes, he does good things in the community. Yes, he does good things for our people. But on the whole, on the outside, you're not seen in that type of light when you go about the business of capitulating to the devil. People won't respect for you. So whereby I make the analogy that it's good for him for what he got, because I understand that he needs to keep his mouth shut. But nobody's going to tell him to keep his mouth shut. Nobody's going to say, you know, and I'm glad that you do when you see him, Joe, tell him, look, man, you need to keep your mouth shut and leave that alone. I'm glad you do it, Joe, because he's on a high. You know what I'm saying? That media thing, that spotlight thing, it's addictive.
I agree with that, Jay. I agree with you on that 100%, brother. Me and you have no disagreement. And I say this, and I'm off, Jay. And Brother Ocean, you can say the same thing with Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison was a member of the Nation of Islam. He ate dinner with the minister when the minister came to Fluffy several years ago. Keith Ellison had dinner with the minister at his hotel room. And then he goes right out there and call the minister that individual, or he's an anti-Semite. I mean, you're talking about a punkified Negro. I mean, you was in the nation. You're going to sit there and throw the man in the bus like this. Some of them Jews come at you. You're going to throw them in. He's one individual I have no respect for at all. I mean, because he was in the nation. You know? He's worse. No question about it.
But Joe, do you notice something about him?
What's that?
Do you notice something about him? The white man keep on giving him position. You know he just won his latest election, and he's now the attorney general of Minneapolis,
I think it is.
Okay. So what do that tell you? He's more concerned with his position in serving white folks' interests than he is about the interests of black folks. But you know something? The sickness is because he's a so-called Democrat and now he has that position, black folks still love him and don't chastise him.
You're right, Brother Jack. You should never be allowed in the community.
You're supposed to be ostracized. And I mean, I'm no big fan of the nation. But just based on principles alone, what he did to the minister, and also as a former member of the nation, he's supposed to be ostracized from the black community because of the position that he took. But you know something? They're going to basically support him, because being a Democrat is more important than being an African or even a black man.
Now, I agree with you there 100%, Jay. Mm. You're right, bro. I don't disagree on that, brother. And like I said, Jay, me, you may not agree on everything, Jay, but I respect you, bro, because I know you can come on the radio. You make a lot, Jay, let me tell you something, man. You make a lot of good points on the radio, brother. And
you both do, I agree.
We just have a disagreement.
That's all.
On little things. But no, you're always my brother, Joe.
I love you too, Jay. You're my brother too, man. I respect you too, Jay.
That's right, brothers and sisters.
I mean it also.
To meet you in person one day, like we're going to meet each other.
Well, you know what? AJ.
Hold on, AJ. Do me a favor.
Hold on.
Ask Joe my number.
Hold on. I'm going to do that. I'll give you a number, but hold on. Jay and Joe. Listen, I'm coming to Philadelphia next Sunday. I'm going to be meeting with Joe and Richard and Elliot and Ralph. Jay, why don't you come down to Philly, man, this Sunday?
Sunday is going to be hard for me,
It's going to be hard for you? Okay.
We can do it soon, man. I'm not driving right now. So
okay.
That's why it's a little...
Well, take the train. Take the train. We'll come pick you up. Take the train.
Bro, let me tell you something. Oh, you my man. But I'm not getting on no train with a whole bunch of crackers going nowhere. I only go if I'm driving. I don't even get a... You know, the only reason I haven't left New York and did a little bit of traveling lately is because I'm not driving right now, and I do not get on planes and trains and buses. I just don't do it, bro. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Because let me tell you something. I know you travel, but I think you're traveling by car this time. But I know you take airplanes and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Ocean, you know and I know both. Being around the crackers is not a comfortable thing, bro.
But you know what? In my mind, as I'm sitting sometimes in between two Caucasians, I keep my mind, I make myself mentally small because I'm not a small person. I'm a pretty big person, you know, and I make myself small and almost like a cocooning myself in my world, in my African world, and isolating them. In fact, I sat next to a Caucasian who worked for South African safaris. He worked for the South African organization in South Africa organizing safaris. He was just, I talked to him for a minute, you know, and then when I said what I said, he turned his head and, you know, because I said to him, I said, you do safaris for South Africa? He said, yeah. He says, really? Yeah, I bet they make a lot of, they offer a lot of money, don't they, to do that? He said, yeah. You know, I think he had one safari where you can go and you can hunt. So there was like $5,000, something like that. You know, I said, well, you know, hopefully pretty soon that the South Africans, the people of Azania, the indigenous people will get their land back. What do you think? He looked at me and turned to say it.
Hey, Ozzy, you already knew that what he was going to do when you said it.
That's exactly why
you said it, because you probably didn't want to smell the crackers bad breath on the whole day ride, if the truth be told.
Yep.
You know, but listen, the bottom line is this, Ozzy. We can't go no place in the world without having to deal
with
the cracker at least one day. Do it on your own terms.
That's right.
Don't have to subject yourself.
Exactly. Do it on your own terms.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's my whole thing. I try to avoid white people as much as possible. Because I'm at the point now to whereas I don't have the patience anymore to deal with them. And I don't want to wind up in jail or in the hospital over them.
I hear you.
I just basically stay away from them. And, you know, I'm too big of a dude to not be intimidating them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I try to just avoid it. So I'll take a cab or I'll walk. I try not to get on subways, buses, and none of that stuff, because if a white person step on my foot, I'm going to say something to them. Now, if they don't say, excuse me, then it may turn ugly with me.
Yeah,
I'm real big and short-tempered. But listen, I got to run.
Me too. I got to run too, Jay.
To you.
Bless you, man.
Peace.
Bless to you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, that they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, go in peace. Asante Sana, thank you. Abibi Fahodia. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia, family, peace. Have a wonderful day.